This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Yankees sweep the Sunday portion of the Subway Series.
What does that even mean?
Well, both Sunday games the Yankees and Mets played this year, the Yankees swept. So, well, the brooms were out yesterday for the New York Yankees.
You're trying everything.
Hey, listen.
You're trying anything to be positive.
Anything to be positive. But I don't think the positive stuff is ultimately going to work, Teak. Despite yesterday's win, and they needed it, obviously the Yankees did, and we'll get to the Met angle in just a moment. Just a disastrous weekend when you consider what they came off of versus Toronto as the Blue Jays continue to churn on and win games. Carlos Rodon on Saturday, just an unmitigated disaster. And the Yankees do salvage a game yesterday that they needed to. But Tiki, I think where we lie here as we head to this final stretch before the All-Star break is, has this recent Yankee play been a rough patch or another version of the June Boone swoon that has now bled into July?
Yeah.
And I lead the latter, man. This team has major, major issues.
Well, there's a ton of issues. The only one that's not is King Aaron Judge, who is amazing every single day you put him out there. Doesn't matter if you're throwing one pitch at him, he's going to take advantage of it and either hit a home run or get an RBI. That, you give King Judge his due. After that, there's not a whole lot of consistency. I guess Jazz Chisholm over the last month has been pretty good.
Yep.
And he's an all-star, rightfully so. But there's questions everywhere when it comes to second base, third base. You talk about DJ all the time. You talk about Jazz playing the field. He's obviously been really good at the plate, but he's better as a second baseman.
Yep.
And that decision, why it's consistently, I don't know, made is frustrating to me. Maybe a reset at the All-Star break will get them right, but the Yankees just feel like they're holes. I'm not saying they're bad, because they're not bad.
No.
They're a good team, and they're going to be a good team, and they're going to make the postseason, and who knows what happens once you get there, but it feels like there are flaws, there are little leaks, holes in this big bubble that they created, and it's starting to, you know, it turn out in bad ways every single time they take the field.
Well, no doubt about it, and I think that's where, let's just start here. My biggest issue is there's no doubt the Yankees have major flaws. Newsflash, they have for basically each of the last 8 years under Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman in this tenure. The problem is they can get by on flaws when they have an ace, like you saw Max Fried yesterday, although it wasn't his best stuff, go through five innings. And when you have the best player in baseball, like you do Aaron Judge, and it clouds all these other philosophical differences. I said that word wrong. I'm going to get plenty wrong
philosophical.
Here. Philosophical differences.
Yes, I know what you meant.
All right. Yesterday, before the game even starts, I was pissed off of the losing streak when the lineup comes out and they decide, unbelievably again, to sit Jazz Chisholm Jr. versus a bullpen game, so I don't want to hear any of the lefty-righty crap, and Jason Dominguez, and then Jazz Chisholm Jr. We find out that Jazz Chisholm Jr., let's connect the dots here, has a shoulder issue that affects him on throwing but has not affected his bat, and the Yankees are looking to get him a day off.
Right, so why is he not playing second base?
Okay, let's start there before we get to Dominguez, all right? The last couple weeks, we've been talking about whenever they've peppered Peraza in Or even LeMahieu, who can't move at second base. Yes. Why is Jazz not playing his natural position at second base while these other guys could play third and Peraza? The idea was we don't want to move guys back and forth. So now we find out that Jazz has had a shoulder issue that's affecting his throwing, but you put him at the spot where he's going to be throwing longer and right. You claim infield defense?
Right.
So backward.
Well, it obviously creates a challenge for Jazz because even when, like, I know this because I played hurt a lot. In football, you had to. Otherwise, someone's taking your job. So you're playing hurt, and while you feel like you are okay, you know that you're compromising right. something to just feel okay. And so if you're playing third base and you have a shoulder, let's call it an impingement, who knows what it actually is, a shoulder issue that's preventing you from being elite, that elite athlete that we know Jazz is. I honestly feel like Jazz, you can throw him anywhere. Maybe except for first base or catcher. Throw him anywhere, he's going to be actually okay.
Yeah.
Right?
I actually think he'd be okay first, too. He's that good an athlete.
Right, he probably would be. But digging the ball is different. It's a skill that you kind of have to learn and get your hand-eye coordination correct. But what my point is, he is a great athlete. And you could put him anywhere, most places in the infield or in the outfield, and he'd be okay. But if you know that he's hurt, why are you going to put him in a position just because he's a good athlete and can adjust, as was their need last year when they moved him to third base? Put him in a position mm-hmm. where he's comfortable and he doesn't have to, I don't know, get out of sorts and fling the ball across the diamond in order to make outs. And that's why we've seen, in retrospect, you look at some of those throws, it's like, well, maybe he was just trying not to hurt himself.
Right. And so, exactly.
And so if Aaron Boone knew this, it doesn't make any sense why it was continually run out there at third base. And it's the same issue that we've had with Aaron Boone when you start seeing the success that Jason Dominguez has had over the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Right? Why? What prevented you from just running? Just see. Just run him out there and see. And now you're running him out there and seeing, and he's almost every game he's doing something valuable. And so, to me, this is Boone's decision making. Now, I don't know if it's backed by analytics, but
right.
this is decision making that's putting this team in a worse position than they should actually be in.
Right, and bingo. Brian Cashman's put together the roster. For all its flaws,
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Right.
It is the roster. Your job, whether that is in collaboration with the general manager and analytics department, is to put the roster that you have in the best you know, way to succeed here.
Right.
And what the Yankees did this weekend, coming off of and that's the important part. You got swept by Toronto, lost first place. You needed to act with urgency, and they didn't. They let off Dominguez on Friday, leads over to Homer, and I'm thinking, great. They figured it out. How we got to Sunday afternoon off of two losses with Dominguez continuing to hit and sitting him yesterday, and then their sell is, well, with Max Fried on the mound, we're going to go with the best team defense, was garbage. And yes, they got bailed out, and it worked. But it is BS, because it was not their best team defense. Number one, if it was, Jazz Chisholm Jr. would have simply been playing at second, but he gave him a day off. Number two, and this is where I keep receipts, and I don't forget, Tiki, we sat here in spring training, and what was the argument about Jason Dominguez? He is not a left fielder.
Yes.
He is a center fielder.
Right.
Okay? And do you remember, because I don't forget this, do we remember what Evan argued? What was argued by people was, well, Cody Bellinger's a better center fielder than he is a left
fielder.
Looked
pretty damn good in left field yesterday.
Exactly, Tiki. He has the play of the day in left field, flawless in left field. So yesterday, when Jason Dominguez is sitting to get, quote-unquote, the Yankees' best defensive outfield or team out there, my question would be, well, whose fault is it that that's their best defensive team? They completely square peg, round hole, put Jason Dominguez in left field where he's been fine at points this year, misplayed a couple balls, and they totally screwed this thing up. They got bailed out with a win yesterday, and that bailout is going to make people think everything's fine or make them feel like they're the smartest people in the room. I'm sorry, it feels like they lie to the fan base constantly. They can't keep up with their own lies.
Forget the fan base. It feels like they're lying to themselves, Sean.
Great
point. Feels like they're trying to convince themselves that this is going to work, that this is something that is sustainable, that you're not going to have to worry about, that Jazz will figure it out because he figured it out a year ago when they went to the World Series after they picked him up in that trade in the middle of the season. So it feels like they're just saying it over and over and over and over again to themselves to convince themselves that this is the way to go about it. Now, is it terminal? No. Again, I'm not panicked. It sucked that they lost six in a row, that the Blue Jays, who have just can't lose right now. They've won eight in a row and are all of a sudden three games up in the division.
That'll level out, though.
Of course it will. I mean, baseball is streaky. It's baseball. We know that. But all of a sudden, the Yankees, a week ago were two or three games up in the division. Now they're three games back in the division. And so that sucks. But I'm not panicked about that. I'm more panicked about what are you doing to put this team in position to learn how to be great when it matters. And it doesn't feel like they're doing that because they're lying to themselves about who can do what or who should be doing what. Like, I know Jason Dominguez is young. This is basically his rookie season. It is his rookie season, even though he's been up here in previous years. But the more he plays, I think the better he's going to become. And so you have to put him in position to learn on the job, not have to jump up in the middle of the left field and make a catch that he should have just been standing under. But the only way that's happening is if he plays and plays and plays. And if you put him in his natural position, because Cody Bellinger can play, he can play anywhere in left field, right field, center field, first base, wherever. He's kind of like Jazz in that regard. Let Jason Dominguez be most comfortable. Let Jazz Chisholm be most comfortable.
Yeah, and look, Jason Dominguez, when he led off on Friday, he's going to have his bad days. And I understand he's not as good with the right-handed side than he is with the left-handed side. He's their answer at the leadoff position here. This leadoff hitting spot for the New York Yankees has been in a mega hole that you thought maybe at some point Anthony Volpe last year would have grabbed and hasn't. Jason Dominguez should be playing every day with his speed and his tools and be the leadoff hitter. And if you're that worried about his defense, then on those days where you need to rush a Bellinger Grisham out there, he could be DHing to give Stanton his days off. Right. I'm sorry. I stand here today on a week before the deadline. That is by far their second most important bat besides Aaron Judge. And honestly, the second most important goal besides winning a World Series is developing Jason Dominguez, and they continue to hinder him. You cannot sell me that he was good enough to hit leadoff, do his job, then get bounced to the sixth spot in the lineup on Saturday and bounced out of the lineup on Sunday and sell me that the team needed him for defense. And if you're selling me, again, that Bellinger needed to be out there in left field, why wasn't Bellinger the left fielder in spring training and Dominguez just playing his natural position? So they are just so backwards. And it's really, really aggravating. And now here you go. Seattle, who, by the way, just shut out Pittsburgh every single game this weekend, comes rolling in here for a couple games. Can the Yankees simply tread water and get to the All-Star break and figure that out? I don't believe that this is a simple rough spot. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I believe no changes will be made. And wash, rinse, repeat, same old for the Yankees. 888-808-1019.
I said this a lot last week for the Mets. It's like, man, you just need a rest. You need respite. You need a break. You need the All-Star game to get here quickly so that guys can just get off the and rethink things and reset themselves. That's Volpe. That's everyone. But it's also Aaron Boone. The challenge is, the Yankees are going to go through six games here before the All-Star break, or they could get swept again.
They could.
They could get swept. They could get swept by Seattle. They could get swept by Chicago, who's no slouch either in the National League. I know it's in a league and it doesn't mean as much, but still, there's a good chance that the Yankees don't correct themselves over the next week and a half, and they go into the All-Star break feeling completely deflated after leading the division and being one of the best teams in the American League for most of this season. And so there's not an answer, but it's like you just almost can't wait for it to get here, even if it is ugly getting there.
Yeah, no team needs the All-Star break more than the New York Yankees. Now, quickly on the Mets' point of view from this, those two games versus the Brewers and getting them in your pocket before rolling in versus the Yankees, I think were an enormous confidence boost.
Yep.
Obviously, you come out to take the gut punch the Mets did on Friday, answer back after the two homers the Yankees started the game with, come back, you get the big hit. Luke Weaver is not right still, and he admitted as much so after Friday's game. Then Saturday, you jump, what a gutless start from Carlos Rodon, too. The Mets jump all over Rodon, they figure that out. I got to be fair, though. As much as I'd be very happy knowing where the Mets were a week ago, I'd be a little aggravated if I was a Met fan off the way yesterday was handled, and specifically...
Because of the starters?
Well, forget the starters. It is what it is. You're being dealt the injury card you're being dealt with. The not walking Aaron Judge in that spot.
Oh, yeah.
Because they allowed the game to get to 5-0, and they were chasing that number.
Right.
There was no reason knowing that. Think about this. The Yankees put out a lineup yesterday where Anthony Volpe was hitting sixth. Now Wells has the homer. He's fine, batting seventh. Peraza's out there again. DJ LeMahieu's out there. The Yankees screamed and yelled and handed a lineup card to the Mets saying, we don't plan on scoring a lot today despite your pitching.
Right.
And they allowed Aaron Judge to beat them in that spot. And that's a game where, you know, you have
That beats them.
Right. The base running lapses later in the game, the double play by Bellinger, all these other things that happen later in the game. The game is controlled. if you simply do not pitch to Aaron Judge.
So
now,
true.
You want to wash your hands and say we took two or three from the Yankees, we won four or five. I get that. I'm not telling you the sky is falling on the Mets. You
it's
are
not.
Currently
it's
also...
Not. They corrected themselves.
Right.
You give the Mets credit. They corrected themselves.
But that game was managed yesterday, and I like Mendy, by a manager who thinks his team is eight games in front of the division lead, and they're still in a spot here with the Phillies.
The one thing that you have to, as a Met fan, be completely comfortable with right now is that the National League East is a two-team race. I know that you can't beat the Braves for whatever reason, because the Braves stink. Like they've lost four in a row.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Bro. They're not going to be a factor.
Yet somehow they can't lose to the Mets. But I know that was a worry a week ago. The Braves aren't a worry right now. The Nationals basically just cleaned house, fired Rizzo, fired everybody. Like the Nationals are done. The Marlins likely are done too. So at least in the National League East, it's just a two-man race. It's you and the Phillies. And your game or game and a half, whatever it is. I can't remember the losses and the number of games played, but whatever. They're a game and a half. Behind the Phillies right now. So it's all, not to steal a Boonism, but it's literally in front of them. Like the Mets, you feel comfortable with where they're going. But the Yankees, on the other hand, in the AL East, who knows how complicated or tight that can get as the season goes on. Because as much as I feel like the Red Sox are done.
They're not now.
They're not.
They're 2.5 back of the Yankees, or 3.5 back of the Yankees.
That's right.
Yankees even with the Rays, 3 games back of the Jays.
Right.
That is a muddled mess. Evan's European vacation is underway, although you wouldn't know he was on vacation if you followed him on Twitter because he was all over with Rico Bronyas and whatnot. Did you see Tiki, by the way? One of his kids was up at 4 a.m. with him doing a Rico.
Watching?
I don't know
what's
going on.
It wasn't watching the game, was it?
I could think so. Right, Tommy, can you speak to any of this?
I can't speak to that, but I would imagine he did the Rico right after the game, so I would assume that young Jet and Evan... Up?
Wow.
Bro, can you imagine...
No.
These two schlubs walking around Paris today on 3 hours of sleep. He's sending us pictures of these statues with the schwants. I mean, like, yep. Like, we need to see that. Can you imagine we're on no sleep because you had to do podcasts?
They didn't wear clothes in Paris back then, obviously.
No, they didn't have the money for pants.
No, they didn't. But, dude, they are going to be sleeping on benches. I'm serious.
Could you imagine spending all that money? This is what I tried telling Evan. His wife's dream vacation. He spent all that money, right. And he's up in the middle of the night watching baseball
games. When you go to Paris, you just walk around. You see stuff. Like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You go to the Eiffel Tower. You go to the museums. You see stuff.
Right. You're not laying by a pool.
Right. Exactly. And if you're on 3 hours of sleep and you're sitting on the beach or by the pool, it's cool. Who cares? Doze off. Doesn't matter. Wake up. Have a beverage.
Not when you're huffing through the Louvre.
Dude, when you're walking around all day, this is going to be a disaster. First part of their trip.
Yeah.
Oh, because he has to watch these damn games. And it's fine if it's him.
Right. But now you're showing
he's dragging Jet with him?
That's where he's going to get in hot water.
Yes.
And a little birdie, maybe even Evan admitted this himself. Apparently, Evan was on the line at the airport to check his bags, and he was scoring the game while he was on the line. Like, at some point, you have to put the scorebook down. You just do. You're on line to go to Paris, to go to Europe. There's a bunch of people that are waiting
to check their bags. I'm surprised TSA wasn't like, buddy, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, that's Evan Roberts. More thoughts on why Pete Hoffman's an enabler. We'll continue to check in on the Evan vacation throughout. It is Sean Tiki, Tommy here, Paulie with us as well. 888-808-1019. All right, let's get started. Gabe in Wayne. Gabe, what's up, bro?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. You know, the Yankees left the under June Boone swoon only to enter into the, I don't know what it was, the YOY July. I don't know, like, good rhyme for July. But at the end of the day, right, you know, one of the things I wanted to point out about Volpe, because he's just been, you know, absolutely atrocious.
Yep.
If you go back and look at when he actually, like, fell off that cliff, both offensively and defensively, it really dates back to when Jazz got injured and then Cabrera shortly thereafter got injured. And that's just to say that, you know, essentially having people out of position at third and second over the course of the past like 2.5 months has really, really impacted his defensive abilities. And the best example of that is he went from 0 errors to 11 errors in that time.
What do you think that is? That's him trying too hard?
I mean,
No. I think he has to cover for other people's weaknesses, right? He's like, oh man, Jazz isn't a natural third baseman. Maybe I got to range a little bit more to my right, kind of a thing, and you know, force those plays that wouldn't come naturally.
No, I hear you. Know, and DJ can't get up to the hole. In the middle.
Yeah, well, that's a big problem too. You have a statue at second base. I would only push back on this. I think we forgot this happened because Volpe does basically play every day. I believe I want to say it was right before the first Subway Series, the weekend before. I only know this because I was betting horses in a horse bar. I think it was Kentucky Derby Day.
Okay.
He face planted in short and he got like really banged up with his shoulder and and he never went on the IL, Volpe. And I think he missed the next day on the Sunday. I think if you could look this up, it was Kentucky Derby
Saturday. He wasn't listed as injured.
No, but he did. I'm pretty sure he missed the Sunday game and then came back right after that. And since then, he has not been the same either. So I'm just speculating. I have my major issues with Volpe and more on him and his father in a little bit. But I would point to more, look back at that happening more so than covering for DJ or Jazz coming back. Because his defense has really fallen off a cliff since that moment.
I see. Yeah, shortstop Volpe experienced a left shoulder injury May 3rd.
Bang, Kentucky Derby Day. Told you.
But stayed in the game after being checked by the trainer. X-rays and MRI came back negative, indicating no serious injury.
But
he was considered day-to-day.
Yes, he was really banged up.
He was out on the fourth and then came back on the fifth.
And that was when all the torpedo bat mania ended with him.
Right.
That was when all the defense. That has been my own speculation, that he really messed something up, and we're going to hear something after
the year. He felt a pop in the shoulder but remained in the game after being checked. Yeah. If you hear a pop in a joint, something happened.
And nobody has mentioned that at all.
Interesting.
At all.
It's a good pull.
Thank you. I've had it in my mind. It's been marinating. I've been waiting for Evan to go to Europe to drop that line out there. 888-808-1019. Here he is. I'm surprised you're going to the well this early. John and Maspeth. John, what's up?
You know, I'm going to be calm, okay?
All right. You can try.
We gotta sell the deadline. This team has too many holes. Listen, this team is just going to be a repeat.
Hold on.
You got to sell. We got too many holes.
John,
I got Schmidt out now.
Hold on. I'm going to have to let you finish. I heard BT have this take, too, and I don't disagree to an extent. Because me and Tiki have talked about selling Devin Williams.
Yes.
Okay? Because if you're not going to sign him, do you trust him in the playoffs anyway?
Right.
Okay?
The problem with that conversation is that I was saying, John, I had faith in Luke Weaver. Now I'm starting to lose faith in Luke Weaver.
I'm not going to give up on Luke Weaver, but I'm agreeing with you. I think something's off.
He's still dealing with the hamstring. He needs the All-Star break.
He needs the All-Star break. And then the other one I would consider is Paul Goldschmidt, because I want to see Ben Rice play every day anyway and see what you can get. But beyond that, what exactly are you planning on selling here?
Here's my defense, right? Look, look at last year. Tanner Scott, Marlins got a top 50 prospect for him, right?
Uh-huh.
We can likely get a top 50, 7,500 prospect for Devin Williams and for Luke Weaver. And there's going to be a lot of teams that need bullpen help, so let's go throw Tim Hill out there, Loaizaga, Mark Leiter.
Yeah, but I don't think those guys John, Mark Leiter and Loaizaga and Tim Hill, they're not going to net you a lot. You see the way that some of these other bullpen arms get you.
I know they're not going to net you a lot, but if you throw in Goldschmidt Trent Grisham.
Yeah, but John, you're just quitting on the season, though. You can't do that.
And they're not going to do that in this American League.
Not right now.
And I could understand having the argument from a Yankee fan that you want them to do it because they tank out, crash out. If you want them to sell at the deadline, because you think ultimately they're going to then stink and it's going to be a message to Hal Steinbrenner and a clean house, you are trying to connect too many dots.
Right.
It's not happening. So you might as well at least just block it out of your mind and live with the reality of what the Yankees are working with right now. And here's the other part. With all due respect, some of the Yankee failures that exist right now are because they can't develop anybody. And the one guy they oddly seem to be developing well is Jason Dominguez, and they keep stunting him.
Right.
So you want to collect these prospects for Devin Williams, for Tim Hill, for everybody, and then what? And then what? Because the last time they did this, the big coup they got was Gleyber Torres, and they screwed him up too.
True. I know this is exhausting, but the Yankees have to live in a win-at-all-cost situation every year.
Right.
That's just what they're going to. It's what they are right now. When you have one of the best, if not the best player in baseball right now, in King Aaron Judge, you have to go for it every single time.
Yeah, you can't waste any years.
It doesn't make sense to waste, because before you know it, Aaron Judge is going to be 36 years old, and he's not going to be playing as elite defense in right field. And so he is going to be just a DJ, a designated hitter. And then Stanton is probably gone, so you've already lost, you know, that reliable October piece. Like, you have to go for it every year. It sucks, and you want to rebuild and, I don't know, try to make something more sustainable with prospects, but the Yankees aren't in that position.
No.
And I don't see them getting there anytime soon where they can just, all right, we can tear this down and rebuild. They have to go for it every single season.
But therein lies the next problem.
And I know that's exhausting, but it's the facts.
I agree with you. But then here's the issue. It feels like they don't fully go for it every single season.
Yeah.
Because right now, as it stands, if that is the I agree with you, Tiki. That should be the philosophy. Whoever that, if Suarez does become available, whoever that best infield bat is that becomes available, and
hopefully third baseman.
Hopefully third baseman. And best bullpen arm, not one or the other, then the Yankees should be proactive in making sure they obtain both. Because last year, if you remember, they did not want to trade Spencer Jones to get Tanner Scott, who, in the end, maybe it's Tanner Scott instead of Nestor Cortez facing Freddie Freeman in the World Series, and maybe they get out of it. Maybe they win a World Series. They have to be all in then. If you are not going to even entertain the idea of selling off some of these pieces you don't plan on signing, then you better flip it the other way. And I don't know that I trust this organization is going to do that.
Well, have they in past years?
No,
the answer is no.
No. They do enough to make you happy. Like last year, Jazz made the Yankees happy. You could be happy, but are you in love? They don't do enough to put you in love. Wrong, Tommy?
This sounds like me as a husband. I do just enough to make her happy. Do I go above and beyond?
No.
I don't. Little joke here, take the garbage out there. Just enough to keep my job.
Yeah, but the consistent date nights, that's not happening.
Not so much. Not anymore.
You got to keep the bar low. Perfect example. Yesterday, I'm playing you ever hear the game Categories in the pool?
In the pool. I thought you were talking about categories.
No, which is categories.
Pretty
in
cool
pool.
Board game. So, categories
or
in the pool.
Some might call it toothpaste. Okay, there's one person on one end of the pool and a group of others.
What in the entire hell are you talking about?
I'm setting it up to say this. Okay,
okay, go ahead.
The idea is you shout out a category, favorite kind of movie, right? And then the four people
horror.
In the pool, yeah, right. They discuss it and then they tell me their answers and I yell one out. We race. Okay, so like whatever one I pick of the group we race.
I'm a fat moron.
Yesterday, this is how low I've set the bar for my family. This is where the Yankees come in. My wife says to me and the kids, favorite thing daddy likes more than his family. That was the category.
Wow.
We were joking around. I played one with her too. My daughter Peyton yells out eggs.
Wow.
I've set the bar so low, they think I like eggs more than my family. That is the Yankees. We think they like the eggs more than they like winning the World Series.
So you
set the bar low.
You put like an omelet over your daughters.
That's what they think.
Yeah, got it.
That's what they think. And that's what the Yankees make us think.
It's all perception.
Exactly.
The only thing that matters is what you as a fan think.
Exactly.
What you as a daughter think. That's the only thing that matters.
And the eggs in this case are Spencer Jones's prospectus. You know, the Yankees put that out there, and we think we like that more than winning World Series. 888-8, I think that metaphor made sense. 808-1019. Alex in New Jersey. Alex, what's up?
What's going on, Sean and Tiki?
What's up, Alex?
Not much. As you guys know, I am a Mets fan, but I just want to say that schizophrenic Tommy can keep his job for now since he's doing his job. But my question is for the Yankees fans, because you guys are not used to the rebuilding. Is there going to be a point where you're just going to feel like you have to break this thing because of Aaron Judge and try to give him the best that you can? Because obviously the way that it's working right now, it's not.
Well,
so just want to get your perspective of it.
I don't think break is the right word. Because look, Spencer Jones is not going anywhere. When is he coming up? Who knows?
Hopefully next year. He's tearing
like
up AAA.
Right. It seems like he could come up this year. But there's no room for him to come up this year.
Right.
And so let's say this thing ends and not the way that we want it to end. Even if they do get into the postseason and get knocked out in the ALCS. I don't think you say strip this thing down and rebuild. What happens is Trent Grisham goes wherever he goes, or he just stays as a fourth outfielder. Jason Dominguez becomes your everyday center fielder. Judge is right. Spencer Jones comes up. He plays left. Now you're right. Now starting to rely on a lot more youth.
Ben Rice plays first base.
So it feels much younger and maybe not as viable, but it's better than stripping it down and trying to restart again, all over again.
Yeah, totally. And look, Luis Hill's obviously coming back. That's a big part of your young arm. They're going to have, bear with me, because he's going to start this week, Cam Schiltler. You could say it, not me.
Why don't you say it three times fast?
Right. Schiltler.
Schiltler?
Schiltler?
That is going to be this year's version of Jazz Chisholm, if you know what I mean.
Say Schlit. Schlit.
Schlittler?
Even that's
Schlittler.
Dangerous territory.
That's it. That's
Schlittler.
It.
Schlittler.
Schlittler. I'm willing to call him by the wrong name just to not call him by the wrong name, if that makes sense.
Cam. Just call him Cam.
Okay.
Cam.
The point is he's another one of these young
Cam-S.
Guys.
Cam-S.
I'm going to be excited for young guys, but...
Right.
Why does it feel, I guess because Volpe's failures, and as good as Wells can be, he's not been then. I think the failures of some of these young guys too, and not really becoming, you know, big time stars kind of, you know, hurts your enthusiasm about that.
It does, but you also look at this season and still say, it's so available.
It is.
It's not like, I mean, look, the Detroit Tigers are ridiculous. The Houston Astros all of a sudden have the second best, second number of wins in the American League. Like, these teams are not going to be easy. I mean, it was.
They both, but those cores, by the way, both have a lot to prove in this postseason.
100%. But I mean, think about last year. It was kind of gifted, right? You had inferior opponents to get to the ALCS.
Yep.
And then you got there, you won it, and ultimately you were in the championship series. And then, look,
can't say the American League stinks anymore.
No, you can't. It was their year last year to steal a World Series. And they just played terrible in the World Series.
Yep.
And that's the only thing you can chalk it up to. They were in those games, but they just didn't have that it to win it. Now, in a couple of years, this team is going to be very, 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 very young. Maybe uncomfortably young. Maybe young to the point where they can't, it's not foregone conclusion that they're going to be at the top of the American League East. But I would rather have that than strip it down at the trade deadline and just have a tank season. Like, nobody wants that.
No.
I think this team has to keep going for it, even if they're flawed. Right now, they're flawed. We know they're flawed, right? Luke Weaver's flawed. Got Tommy John. You already Garrett Cole's already got the Tommy. Like, you've had injury issues. You've had all these things that have happened, but you're still good.
You are, right.
So you have to keep going for it.
And they should. I'm not saying to strip it down, but the problem with the Yankees is we could keep talking about the bit place pieces, the players, the way that it is all constructed and put together. They just, remember we used to complain that the Yankees don't use analytics enough and we used to point to the Rays? They've almost gone the other way now where they overuse analytics, get away from gut stuff. Like, for instance, yesterday's lineup that I complained and screamed and yelled about on a video before the game started that came back to, you know, I guess haunt them because they played good defense.
Right.
I look at something like that, and that feels like a lineup that they made 5 days earlier when kind of planning out everything, and they don't go with being able to change things and go with a gut on the fly. And it killed them when we didn't understand why they sat Giancarlo after he finally hit the home run.
Right.
It's like they map out this plan. The same thing a couple weeks ago when we were at Fanatics Fest and Boone came out and said they're going to give Volpe a day off this weekend. Then he homers, and then they give him off the day after. Just when you think a guy needs a day off, that's the day to give him a day off. Stop pre-mapping out lineups every week. Say what you want to say about the Mets, Yankee fans that you love, you know, making fun of. When they made that change at leadoff a couple weeks ago or last week, that felt drastic because the Mets run out there essentially the same order,
but it also,
constantly.
But it also felt like a gut move.
A gut move.
It didn't
exactly
feel like an analytic move.
Oh, by the way, Marte has been tearing off the cover off the ball, killed the Yankees again yesterday at points since he went to leadoff. But at least you know these guys are hitting that order. Every day you wake up, we do this whole, think about it, we have a game. Who's hitting leadoff for the Yankees?
we have no idea.
And then they finally feel like they stumbled on something on Friday, and the way they reward Jason Dominguez is batting him sixth on Saturday and sitting him on Sunday. Like, that is such backward math. And if that's analytics telling you to do this, ditch your analytic team. You have the best in the business, Brian Cashman said. My ass. My ass. 888-808-1019. Tyler in Chappaqua. Tyler, what's up?
Hey, guys. So much to talk about. You guys are great. I'm a Bronx boy, grew up, love the Yankees with my whole family. We're so passionate about them. We talk about pitching and defense is the recipe for a championship. Watch all those, you know, championship years throughout the 90s, went to all those World Series. There is a systematic problem with the way that the Yankees organization is running the Yankees right now. It's like you said, there's too much analytics involved. You know, I heard a lot about, you know, Dominguez. He's a great, phenomenal upside player. Tons of potential there. But arguably, the Yankees have the best defensive outfield in the game when they have Cody Bellinger, Grisham, and Judge out there.
That's correct.
A bigger problem that has to be addressed is they have an over 10 ERA with their bullpen over the last 10 games.
Huge point.
They put themselves into a position to win games. And, Leiter comes out and blows games. Tim Hill, they don't throw strikes. They don't know how to hold runners on. They literally, against the Mets, they're giving away the second base on a steal every time. I mean, there's so much that can be improved with the Yankees, but it's not a drastic situation. They're in the playoff spot. This is
right.
They have to get things together and make some moves to fix some of the problems that they have.
Right,
going
it's Tyler. It's always always the little things.
Yes.
When you're a good team, it's the little things that make the difference between winning and losing or getting to the next stage or whatever plateau you're talking about. And the Yankees, they...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
They're good, right?
Right.
Just by virtue of who's on the team, they're good.
Right.
Now, they've suffered some injuries, obviously, and we talked about the Tommy John with Schmidt now, which sucks. And now Sean was right. He should have just let him try to go for the complete game.
Clearly didn't make a difference if he threw 103 and 123.
Right. It didn't matter at all. But like those injuries you can't help, but they're still good in spite of it. And so
right.
The only way they're going to win, and we saw this, and the Dodgers mocked them last year, mm-hmm. is the little things. You have to focus and dial in to the little things, not the analytics that some nerd is talking about is going to make a difference in a game or two. That doesn't matter.
I agree.
The fundamentals, the little things. And so if you're getting on Boone, and this is where we've been kind of railing for a minute, yes, it's part lineups. But it's also the little things.
Right? That's your job as a mat. See, it's almost like we use the word manager in baseball as opposed to coach in football, hockey, basketball, right? And we forget, your job as the manager is you're still the head coach of the team.
Yes.
So that, to me, is where I get on Boone. If Cashman and the analytic team tells him who to play, what to play, if that happens, that's one thing.
Right.
All those little things, the base-running blunders, the defensive miscues, Boone and his coaching staff, that is your job to clean up the little things. And that's where I have a major issue with
this. Of course.
Team.
And those aren't like... Let's not sit down and have a whiteboard session to talk about how to run bases. You've been playing baseball your whole damn life. You know how to do these things. But sometimes it is just reminding you. It is telling you, hey, let's hold this guy on a little bit because, you know, we don't want Francisco Lindor, who stole his 199th base yesterday of his career. Congratulations to him, by the way. But he basically just gave it to him.
You know what I mean? Right.
And so... Like, it's those little things that ultimately come in and make differences in games that were tight. Because, look, Friday was a tight game.
Right.
Luke Weaver comes in, he gives up probably should have left Tim Hill in, but whatever. He comes in and walks Pete Alonso, then gives up a two-run home run. But it's the little things.
Of course. And, look, Luke Weaver, to me, has earned enough respect and trust that I clearly see. And he admitted after the game, maybe I keep telling myself I'm fine. Maybe I'm not fine. Since, by the way, he didn't pitch a rehab game. Remember, he just came right back after that.
Right.
Clearly he's been off.
And that's his left leg, hamstring. That's his landing leg.
There are guys on the roster that have earned the respect of, if you're off, you're off, and we lose a game because of that. Weaver's one of those guys. I was annoyed Friday, but you know what? I live with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stand for Carlos Rodon when the team needs him most, getting paid that much money, getting imploded on Saturday.
Giving up grand slams and two-run home runs.
I'm not going to stand for Jason Dominguez getting punished for defense, yet we trot Anthony Volpe out there every single turn we can while he looks like a mess.
Right, and we throw Jazz at third base when he should be playing second, especially because he has a jacked-up shoulder right now.
We got to play this.
For some reason, we're infatuated with DJ LeMahieu, who cannot play
it
to his right.
Sense.
He can't get to his right.
If you were so worried about defense left and right about the outfield with Grisham and Bellinger, then have that same consistency in the infield. It's such... It's just hypocritical. Everything they do is so hypocritical against each other. And I think that's why the fan base really gets frustrated. If you really boil down.
Right, it's frustrating.
Why do Yankee fans get frustrated? Yeah, they win 90 games and go to the playoffs every year. You never want to be the organization where your fan base can sit on the couch and acknowledge what's wrong and you defy that against that. Like, the fan, to me, fans should always be wrong for the most part because they're not in the game. They should know it.
Right.
And way too many times, and we saw it last year, by the way, Alex Verdugo can't find a roster right now. They weren't playing Dominguez for him last year. Remember that?
Right.
And we all screamed and yelled about that. How many times can a fan base be right about an organization not be right about themselves? That should not happen with the New York Yankees, and it's happening right now. If you miss any of the show today or any day, remember, you can listen to the Evan and Tiki podcast on the free Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Paul in Westbury. Paul, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So far, listening to you guys and the fellas earlier, I heard the word analytics.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I've said this over and over. I was a player myself. Tiki, can you imagine prior to the football season you had a coordinator that's telling you how to running back and you never played high school football?
You have a lot of
analytic people in spring training teaching the young ball players how to play the wrong way. Case in point, during the Met Yankee game, I think it was Paul O'Neill, or I thought it was Flaherty, mentioned about Volpe.
Right.
He had a hitting coach that straightened him out, and then they brought in an analytical hitting coach, and he went south. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, I mean,
I'm sitting down.
Look, I didn't play baseball, but I know, just from knowing baseball players, that hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do in all the sports. Oh, maybe a 145-mile-an-hour serve. We're having to watch the Wimbledon right now. Maybe a serve right down the line. Maybe that's the most impossible thing to do in sports is to return that serve.
At least our racket's wider. You got kind of a chance of closing your eyes and making contact.
Right, just dive at it. At least you'll make some contact and maybe get it over the net. But hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things in all of sports to do. Now, that being said, the guys that make it to the major leagues, hell, the guys that just make it to double and triple A, they've done it a certain way their whole lives. And it's worked for them.
Yeah.
Like some guys, you look at their batting stances and it's like, how in the hell do you get the bat on ball?
Right. Right. Like, that lazily looking open.
How in the world do you step into that when you're that spread out and make contact when the slider's diving away from it? Like, how in the world do you do? But it's repetition. It's practice.
Right.
So the last thing I would ever want is, because he asked me this specifically, and I didn't play baseball, but the last thing I'd ever want would be someone coming in and trying to tell me how to do something analytically and not something I felt comfortable with.
Exactly.
We saw this with Francisco Alvarez with the Mets. We saw it with whatever Chavez tried to do with him in the majors this year. It just didn't work. He goes back down to the minors. He gets more comfortable back to how he used to do it, and he just hits home run after home run after home run in his minor league stint. Now, when he comes back up, who knows? Just don't talk to me. And if I was a professional and I was getting adjusted by analytics as opposed to what I feel, don't talk to me, dude. I'm paid to do this a certain way, and I've done it a certain way my whole life. Stop instructing me. I don't need it.
Right.
If I need your help because I'm struggling, I'll ask for it. And I think that's probably what's happening with Anthony Volpe or even others. Right? You're getting help without asking for it.
Exactly. And they're relying on, again, numbers and books and binders to dictate that. And there's place for that in the game. But then when you go overboard, I can't believe we're here with the Yankees. We went from them being behind the times to two ahead of the times that they've overthought it. That is in the span of 2 years. It's insanity. Let's get another one in here. Ken in Southington, Connecticut. Ken, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great show. I love listening to you guys. I'm a Mets fan. I'm also blind, so I don't get to see some of the things you guys see on a daily basis watching. But I have a question for you guys as a Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't always blind, so, thankfully for that. But I've noticed that, outside of everything else, the analytics and what Boone can and can't do as a manager, Mendy grew up in the Yankees organization, you know, baseball player to manager to bench coach for Boone. How does he go from that to 2 years later to like, oh, man, Sebby's having this great game, but I think I should pull him. Let me go take his temperature. Why can't Boone do that?
Right.
Like, what, in the Yankees organization is saying, Aaron, I like you a lot, but you're not that good. Like, Mendy was right there with him. And Mendy goes to the Mets, and they're like, hey, you can do whatever you want.
Ken, I'll keep you on the line for this. Mendy's not the only one.
Yeah.
Joe Espada's managing the Astros right now, and they're having an insane year with a different core.
Right.
Where is he?
Right.
The Yankee bench. Who's the manager of the Phillies, who have been great the last 3 years at times? Well, Rob Thompson, he's with the Yankee organization, right?
I think it's one of those things, Ken, where you learn, like the Yankees organization, you give them their platitudes because they deserve them.
Right.
They are always, say for that 1 year, what was it, 2 years ago, they are always in the postseason. And so this analytic thing works. It does. But it can't be the only thing you rely
upon.
Exactly. And I think when you leave the Yankees organizations, all those three examples that you just mentioned, Sean, you can now do it the way you would do it, as opposed to the way the Yankees command that you do it. And so, this isn't a knock on the Yankees, because it works.
Right.
But I think when you have some leeway and some aptitude to do things a little bit old school, a little bit, okay, I'm going to ask Sevy. Sevy, you feel all right? Like, right. Don't lie to me, dude, because if you do, then I'm not going to ask you next time. And so when you have that kind of relationship where it feels trustworthy, you can make gut decisions and they work out because you're having a real conversation.
Right. It's almost like
it's not like saying, hey, Sevy, you 6 1/3 and you're at 87 pitches and, you know, you're coming around a third time on this guy. And, you know, you had a 42% success ratio against that guy. But this next guy, I mean, he crushes you every time, according to the stats. So I'm going to pull you. I'm not even talking. I'm just talking at you.
Right.
I think that's what happens sometimes with the Yankees.
It's true.
And it doesn't happen with other teams.
And I think when those guys leave the Yankees, it said, like, they learned what they shouldn't do.
Right.
Right. Take what they do. So I'm going to do that. And I think that's why these guys have been successful when leaving the Yankees. I want the Yankees and Mets never to play in the 4th of July again. I'll explain that when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.